When they were found dead in their bedroom, it was only after a cop went to do a wellness check at the wrong house. The news reported that no one knew who would come after such beautiful people who were so in love. But it turns out all of their loved ones pretty much knew. This is the latest in the story of Monique and Spencer Tepe, the Ohio couple whose case has made national headlines, even though it looks like it's going to end up exactly like you thought it would. Hi friends, I'm Katie and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. As a Midwesterner at heart, a ton of people have been sending me this story about the Ohio couple who were seemingly randomly killed in their Columbus home on December 30th, 2025. It all started when 37-year-old dentist Spencer Tepe didn't show up to work at the Athens Dental Depot at 8 a.m. as usual, and coworkers got worried. One of them called the police at 9:03 a.m. and said, "He is always on time and he would contact us if there was any issue whatsoever. I just don't know how else to say this. We're very concerned. It's very out of character."
Columbus Police, check 107.
I would like to ask for a wellness check on an individual at their home. This individual, Spencer, works with me, and he did not show up to work this morning, and we cannot get a hold of him or his family.
He didn't show up to work?
Correct.
Okay. Does he have medical problems, or?
No, and he's been reliable, and we cannot get in touch with him, his wife, his family, anybody that lives in that house. Like, he is always on time, and he would contact us if there was any issues whatsoever. And I just sent a house to him. It's like, we're very, very concerned because this is very out of character. And we can't get in touch with his wife, which is probably the more concerning thing.
So 20 minutes later, an officer showed up at the home and tried knocking on the front and back doors. The body cam footage is so very Midwestern to me because the officer is whistling a jaunty tune and gives a little rhythmic knock at the door like he's just out there enjoying his job and his life. The only problem is that the officer accidentally went to the wrong house. So a couple more people called asking for wellness checks, and one even said he could hear the couple's kids inside. At 10:05 a.m., a friend went over to check on Spencer, who wasn't answering his phone, and went inside the house. He found Spencer and his wife, 39-year-old Monique, motionless next to the bed. Their two young children were downstairs. The kids and the dog were okay, but Monique and Spencer certainly weren't. Both had been shot multiple times, but the police quickly ruled out the possibility that one of the two had killed the other. There was no murder weapon found. At first, no one could imagine who would want to murder the friendly couple who had grabbed packages for safekeeping while a neighbor was away at work. One neighbor said their one-year-old boy, Beckham, and four-year-old girl, Amelia, played with her kids. Another called Monique and Spencer ordinary, saying the only party they ever threw was their small backyard wedding in 2021 after they met online. I'll say that I watched their 11-minute wedding video on YouTube and totally teared up several times, even though I don't know these people at all. I know the neighbor who called them ordinary didn't mean it in a bad way, more like they weren't the kind of people you would expect to be murdered. But Monique's brothers said that they were extraordinary people whose lives were filled with love, joy, and deep connection to others. Spencer got all of his degrees from Ohio State and was involved with the Big Brothers Big Sisters organization. Monique got her master's in early childhood education, also at Ohio State, and was known as an amazing baker and someone whose kindness made people feel instantly at home. Of course, what's really going on behind closed doors can sometimes surprise us, and the media found out that a 911 call made in April 2025 was listed as coming from the Tepe's house. Someone had called and hung up, so a 911 dispatcher called the number back, and a woman who sounded like she was crying answered.
Hello? Hi, this is 911. We just got a hang-up call. Is everything okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm okay. Sorry.
Okay, well, it sounds like you're crying. Do you need police, paramedics, or anything?
No, I'm okay. I promise. I'm just emotional. I'm okay. I don't need nothing.
Well, can I ask, how do you call 911 in the first place? Like, were you having an argument with somebody?
I mean, got into it, but I'm okay. I promise.
Did anything ever get physical?
No.
You guys were just arguing, nobody hit each other?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All right, man. Well, I have the information here. I can go ahead and tell the officers to cancel hitting over to your address there.
Yes.
If anything changes, call us back.
Okay.
All right,
So obviously people assumed that it was Monique calling and that this clearly meant that she had a problem with her husband. But the assistant police chief revealed in January that the call wasn't actually from that address, and it wasn't actually from Monique at all. Apparently, the call was made from a cell phone, and in a city like Columbus that's more dense, a cell phone tower can have a radius of about 30 meters. So even if it looked like the 911 call was coming from Spencer and Monique's home, it could have just as easily been from someone in a home nearby. The one bit of hope left for finding the killer was that one of those police cameras was installed on a pole at the intersection near their house. And indeed, a week after the shooting, on January 5th, the police released a video of a person of interest who was seen at an alley near Monique and Spencer's home. The person was wearing light pants and a black coat with the hood pulled up and their face down, which might seem suspicious if they weren't walking through actual snow. It would have been freezing then, especially since the person was out during the proposed time frame of the murders, which was around 4 a.m. He looks very casual to me, not like he was on his way to or just coming from killing two people in the upstairs of their home, but I mean, that's what someone should do if they're trying not to get caught. It was on this same day that the police released this video that the Columbus Dispatch wrote a blurb about Monique where they nonchalantly said that Spencer was actually her second husband. They wrote, "The marriage to Spencer was Monique's second. She married a fellow Ohio State student in 2015. The couple had no children and divorced in 2017. Court records indicate the divorce was amicable and settled quickly." And of course, lots of people have a second marriage and an ex-husband, and I'm sure lots of divorces are friendly enough. But as a person who's interested in true crime, your alarm bells probably went off like mine did. Neighbors were understandably worried that they might also be in danger, but they had no reason to fear because, yep, it was the ex-husband. Allegedly. Police tracked that guy on the security video casually walking through the alley back to a car that arrives just before and leaves just after the murders happened. They traced that vehicle back to Rockford, Illinois, outside of Chicago. And Chicago is where the owner, Monique's 39-year-old ex-husband, Michael David McKee, lives. Originally from Zanesville, Ohio, he was a National Merit Scholar and a member of the National Honor Society. He became a vascular surgeon after attending medical school at Ohio State, where he met his future wife, who was then known as Monique Sabaturski. He was arrested on January 10th near a fast food joint and extradited to Ohio, where he was charged with aggravated murder. That's the most serious crime under Ohio law, and the aggravated part basically means it was premeditated. He was also charged with aggravated burglary for entering the home with the intention to commit a crime. There were multiple guns found in his Chicago home, and one matched evidence at the crime scene. Authorities believe he used a silencer. If convicted of aggravated murder, he'll face a mandatory sentence of life in prison, although he may have the possibility of parole after 20 or more years. But in the worst-case scenario for him, McKee might be given the death penalty. He has pleaded not guilty and didn't request bond, probably because his attorney figured he wouldn't get it, and remains in jail. His lawyer, Diane Menasche, has worked on some high-profile cases in Ohio, including one where she was brought on by Jose Baez, the lawyer who defended Casey Anthony. A member of the family said that McKee threatened to kill Monique multiple times while they were married, and her parents eventually helped her move out of their house while he was at work one day. A friend said she talked about how grateful she was to have found her second husband, Spencer, after her verbally and emotionally abusive first marriage. This friend said Monique's friends all suspected her ex from the beginning. She said every single one of us knew that this was the guy. Apparently, no one ever thought something this extreme would ever happen, but Monique didn't exactly think he would quote-unquote leave her alone for the rest of her life. Her friend said that she and Spencer are who they seem to be in their wedding video. The incredible happiness that they project is who they really were. And that McKee, who was only married to Monique for 7 months before they separated and then divorced, couldn't handle it. One paper reported that she never even took his last name, although don't tell my husband that's a smoking gun because I also kept my last name. However, she paid for her own engagement and wedding rings, which I definitely didn't do. In her divorce request, she said that she and McKee were incompatible. And now here she was, being so incredibly happy with her dentist husband and her beautiful kids for him to see online. Friends say he'd been harassing and stalking Monique for 10 years, and I saw some people saying she had a restraining order against him. But my understanding is that the restraining order is kind of a given in Ohio when a divorce happens. Like, the court automatically issues what's called a standard mutual restraining order for both people, so neither person can harass the other or even move their assets around without the other's say-so. The county court where Monique lived said she hadn't filed for a restraining order. But speaking of filings, some people are saying that it could have been a clerical error that pushed Monique to the top of McKee's troubled mind. In June 2025, a new hearing date for their divorce randomly appeared on a court docket to take place in September. Apparently, it was a clerical error with the docket number, and there was actually no need for the court date. I mean, at this point, they would have been separated for nearly a decade. The date was later canceled, but it makes you wonder if it ignited some feelings in McKee. Or worse yet, exposed Monique's address to him if she had been trying to keep it secret. Some people online believe that he had remarried after her, but that appears to be a different Michael McKee. However, this Michael McKee does seem to be the one involved in a civil suit in Nevada due to medical malpractice. A former patient alleges that in a surgery McKee oversaw, a piece of plastic tubing measuring over 8 inches long was left inside the patient's body. And then the medical office tried to sort of hide what had happened. This happened back in 2023, and McKee has since allowed his license there to expire, so some news sources are saying he purposely disappeared from Nevada to escape his troubles. His medical office gave out fake addresses and phone numbers for him so he couldn't be served papers. And then a motion was filed in early 2026 in the case, so there's a world where he knew it was coming and the pressure on his professional life led him to act out violently in his personal life. It feels to me like his crime was so poorly thought out, like the fact that the car was seen on video and he could be tied back to the car and the murder weapon was still in his home, that he must not have cared about getting caught. I think he just really wanted to commit the crime at any cost. It also seems like he definitely knew that what he was doing was wrong since he used a silencer and left the kids alive. I asked my friend who first suggested this case to me why she thinks it's gotten such nationwide attention, but her interest in it is actually very personal. She knows a man who made one of the 911 calls, and she was very surprised to learn that those are available to the public. For her, it was so strange to hear a voice she recognizes calling 911 on TMZ. But those calls are often considered public record and can be requested from the county thanks to the Freedom of Information Act. Personal information and things like private medical history will be redacted, and so will details that need to be withheld for an active criminal investigation. But you can generally get the recordings. Another interesting thing that came up while I was chatting with this friend about the case is how many people are making fun of the ex-husband's appearance. On any post you see about the arrest, someone will say McKee looks like a Lego minifigure or a Minecraft character. My personal favorite is a woman who said, "He reminds me of the time as a girl I was playing with my Ken doll and I accidentally broke off his head and it wouldn't go back on correctly and the head just pushed all the way down the neck." And it made us wonder, would you want the killer of your loved one to be openly mocked? Not just for being an idiot who's caught on camera, but like for having the jawline of the dad from The Incredibles? I'm going to be honest, it might make me feel a little bit better. Spencer and Monique's kids and Golden Doodle are now living with family members, and there's a GoFundMe for them if you'd like to donate. I'm fairly sure we'll see justice in this case. I'm just sad, as always, that we have to hope for justice for these people at all. Thank you to the Columbus Dispatch for their thorough reporting. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode.
I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.